Gemara famously tells us, Amru Rabbi Yabohu tells us that Amru Malachai Asharis. The Malachim were saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Bipnei Ma'in Yisrael Omim Shira Lefanecha, B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. The Malachim looking down at Klai Yisrael near Tzibor, in the Beis Knesses, and they're busy saying Shlichos all day, Yud Gimel Midah Shirachamim, and they're busy crying. And they're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a day of Simcha. It's a joyous occasion. They're getting kapara, slicha, mechila. For what reason are they not saying a shira? Why are they not saying halav? And it says, the Ribbono Shel Olam back to them, Amar Lahem, Ef Shemelech Yoshev Al Kisei Din. Is it plausible that the king sits on his throne of judgment, the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanov, and he's got the book of life and the book of death. Who's going to go this way? Who's going to go that way? Who's going to live this year? Who's not going to live this year? They don't know who's going to make it through this year, successful year, a year of health, a year of parnasa, a year of simcha. And you're going to tell me that the Yisrael Omrim Shira, they should say Hallel, they should sing and dance in such a serious day like today, like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Chasam Sofer has a fascinating understanding of what it is to mean Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim. Chasam Sofer writes that Sifrei Chaim referred to the life, the book about those who are Chaim, those who are alive right now. And the Sifrei Mesim is the book about the din v'cheshvan of those who already have passed, the niftarim. It's not talking about whether everyone here today is going to be put in the Sifrei Chaim or Sifrei Mesim. It's the Sifrei Chaim is about those who are alive, that's one book, and Sifrei Mesim are those who are not alive. That there's a din v'cheshvan of even those who already niftarim, or those who already passed from the world, that they're coming back down in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to be judged again. So standing with everyone on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and particularly the time of Yizkor, when we remember the neshamas that have departed, parents and siblings, children, spouses, grandparents, they're all being judged today. They're all with us here in this room. That's the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Mesim. But it's a very strange thing. Why in the world would the Sifrei Mesim, why in the world would the neshamas that have already departed from this world, why would they be coming back down for a Din Torah? They already were judged once before. They went to the Bezdin Shemala on the day of the Misa, and they were judged, and they went through the process of judgment for 12 months. 11, 12 months. So what are they coming back down again every Rosh Hashanah, every Yom Kippur? And certainly, they haven't done anything wrong. Once you're in the Olam Shel Emes, everything's Emes. There's nothing wrong to be done, to be judged on. So what are they doing coming back down here in this world? So the number of reasons why we read Maftir Yonah. Why Yonah is read in Mincha as the Haftorah. So one of the reasons is brought down by Rav Menachem Mendel Mirimanov. He explains, based on a Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Yonah, that the whole idea of reading Maftir Yonah on Yom Kippur is the show Avas Yisrael. It's the inyan of loving every Jew. Avas Yisrael. Rashi tells us what was the reason why Yonah refused to go to Nineveh. Because he was concerned that if Nineveh accepts his tochacha, if Nineveh accepts the rebuke from Yonah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they do tshuva, it's going to be bad for the Jews. It's going to look very, very bad for the Jews that a non-Jewish city, that Nineveh does tshuva, and Am Yisrael, the chosen people, don't do tshuva. It's going to be a tremendous kitrig on Klai Yisrael. And that's why he ran away, because he loved Am Yisrael so much. He wanted to protect and defend them so much, he refused to go to Nineveh. is because there's a tremendous Avas Yisrael. There's an amazing story. Once a couple had a baby boy, and the Aviyah Ben ran to the house of the Chazon Ish and requested that he become tzaddik. He just had, his wife had the baby a very short while ago, and the tradition of the Gedolim were only to do one tzaddik a day. So he got the first one to the house of the Chazon Ish that day, and he had a bris the next week, and he wanted to see if he could reserve the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish asked the time and the place and all the various details, and the Chazon Ish agreed to be the tzaddik for his baby. So the husband left the house so excited, tremendous amount of simcha and joy that Chazon Ish will be the tzaddik to his son. He runs home, tells his wife the exciting news, and his wife begins to scream at him and says, "Who's the Chazon Ish? I don't even know who the Chazon Ish is. My father's still alive. My father's the tzaddik. You go back now and tell the Chazon Ish he has to be mochel on the tzaddikos because my father's going to be the tzaddik, not the Chazon Ish." And the husband, being a good husband, put his head down, went back to the Chazon Ish, knocked on his door and said, "I'm sorry, Rebbe, but my wife thinks that her father should be the tzaddik, and there's no fighting her, you know, postpartum. She made a decision, and would the Rav be mochel on the tzaddikos?" So Chazon Ish asked, he said, let me ask you a question. He says, "Who's a greater Talmid Chacham, me or your father-in-law?" So he says, "Chazon Ish, certainly, he's the biggest gadol in the world, and no one knows more Torah than him." He says, "Okay." So the Chazon Ish asks him, "Who's a greater Yari Shemayim, me or your father-in-law?" He says, "Okay, if that's the case, so then I'm not mevater on the tzaddikos. I'm not willing to give up the rights." Why? To explain, because the tremendous Avas Yisrael. Because the Chazon Ish loved this child, which he didn't even know. He wasn't even the father or grandfather of the child. But his tremendous Avas Yisrael, he wasn't willing to give up the tzaddikos. Because being a tzaddik at a bris milah is a tremendous zechus for the child. So to have himself be mochel, to give the grandfather, even though it's a wonderful thing, it's a kasha and shalom bias, but to take away that zechus for the grandchild, he wasn't willing to be about there, even in the face of shalom bias. And that shows the great extent of his avos yisrael. So Yonah also, in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do something. And he said, "I'm not going because I love Am Yisrael so much." So says Rav Shor, this is the Indian of Yisker. This is the Indian of the Sifrei Mason being opened up, that we're judging those who already have departed from the world. Because the Mason, those who are up in Shemaim, in the Olam HaEmes, they know that we down here need a tremendous Yeshua. We need a tremendous amount of help. And with their Zechuyos, and they come back willing to have themselves judged again, they're willing to take that din v'cheshvan, because they know that we need their zechuyos, we need their yeshuos. So they're willing to take one for the team, to come back down every single year, so Am Yisrael as a whole has enough zechuyos to make it through yet another year. And so now we commemorate these neshamos, our close family, our close relatives. Remember all the fond memories we have with them. Remember the lessons that they teach us. And we should try to imagine that they're here, because they are here in spirit. And that should serve not only to make us emotional, but also this is a form of tshuva. When we look around the room and we imagine our parents, grandparents are watching, in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes we can relate to our parents more. Imagine our parents were in that same room when you did that thing you shouldn't be doing. When you looked at that thing you shouldn't be looking at. You said that thing you shouldn't be saying. Imagine how uncomfortable you're going to feel. That you do something wrong and you have a tap on your shoulder, and it's your mom, or your dad, and the sense of busha and embarrassment, the guilt you feel. So when they come down in this world, those neshamos, to help give us the zechuyos and the yeshuas that we need, try to imagine the tochacha they'd give us as well, to make us better. Seven years ago, I lost my saba, my grandfather. This is the first loss of any relative of mine, Baruch Shem HaZocheh, to not experience death, a family death for the first 30 years of my life. And 7 years ago, my grandfather, whom I was very close with and very much respected, he passed away at the age of 92. My son Zevi was born just two months after his Ptira, and we named him Zev after my grandfather. And my grandfather was a Polish Jew. He's quiet, simple, idle. And we played chess. He taught me how to play chess. We played chess all the time. We learned Chumash together. And rarely would he speak during a Suda, very much to himself, but very warm and inviting. And I remember the Sukkot before he had passed away, he passed away in Cheshvan, so the Sukkot right before, just a few weeks before his Ptira. My grandfather was always in very healthy, good shape, and the last few months it deteriorated, his mind was always 100%, but physically he was getting weak. So he was staying in my parents' house. It was Sukkot, and it was Erev Sukkot, and all the grandkids were calling to wish him a good Yom Tov. It would be his last Sukkot, his last Yom Tov he would celebrate. So then I handed the phone to him so he could speak to one of my cousins. And then suddenly I heard my grandfather take a whole nother tone. A side I've never seen of my grandfather. Never seen anything close to it. And my Saba began to yell on the phone. And he was yelling, I know exactly what you're doing. I know you're doing this. I know you're doing that. And you need to stop doing this. And he was giving Mussar and Tochacha to a relative of mine who wasn't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And it reminded me of Yaakov Avinu, that he didn't give Tochacha to his children, to even Levi and Shmuel, to what they did in Shechem until the end of his life, until Bar Sheva Yechi, right before he died. Because if a person gives Tochacha earlier in his life, they won't be Mekabel Tochacha, but at the end of the life, to give Tochacha, to give the proper rebuke. And so my Saba realized this was the end of his life. He was just a few weeks away from his Patira. And he felt that this was the time now. This was the time to give the Tochacha. And so when we envision that the neshamas, our relatives, are here with us in the room, are davening with us Yom Kippur for Yizkor, we should have in mind that all the things that we've done this year, we should have that additional busha in front of our parents and grandparents and close relatives. They see what's going on down here. They see the wrong things that we're doing. And together with them, it should be a level of inspiration to hopefully make us better this year, to put us back on the right track, to do more learning than we did last year, to have better davening, to say brachas more carefully, to show up on time to davening, to come to a minyan, to do more chesed, to speak nicer to people, whatever inyan we have to work on. Let this yizkor, although it's sad with all the memories, but let us be a tremendous zechus for Am Yisrael, a zechus for us. And mir tosham yishkuzocho to that time, when we are reunited with the Gush Shem Amitas, with Tchias Meisim, Meher of Yameinu.